Yesterday was Veterans Day, still called Armistice Day in Britain. The holiday began to mark the end of the First World War. That war is fading from living memory into written history. Barely a handful of veterans survive. Australia's last World War I veteran, William Allen, died in October at the age of 106. In Britain, only 9 World War I veterans remain. In August last year, there were still 21 survivors in Britain, and that's when writer Max Arthur began finding and interviewing them. Their recollections have now been published in Britain as Last Post, the final word from our first World War soldiers. Max Arthur joins us now from London. Hi there.
Hello.
These men that you have spoken with, they must all be well over 100 now. Are they in any shape to talk?
Very much so. 105 is the youngest and 109 is the oldest. On Wednesday at the National Army Museum, I had the pleasure of launching the book, and alongside me was there a Henry Allingham, who's 109, and Bill Stone, a naval chap, who was 105, and they both held the floor and talked to their experiences at sea and flying over the Battle of Jutland in 1916, and were spellbinding, and the audience just sat there with tears in their eyes, listening to these extraordinary experiences and much humour, and then they both sang. So
Oh.
highly articulate men.
What did they sing?
They sang. He was asked what his philosophy was on life at 109, and he sang the song "Wild, Wild Women" and "Beer and Smokes." Can't remember whatever the song is, but they loved it. Brought the house down. And the other
So
one
no
just sang.
patriotic singing
No,
there.
patriotic singing at all. Too no.
Well, I was struck that one person told you, he spent years basically trying to forget everything that happened to him in World War I. And now the older he gets, the more people make him talk about it.
That's right. That's Harry Patch, who said to me, "Well, if I'd been talking about the First World War for years and years and years in the past, I wouldn't be here now." He said, "It's because I blocked it off, and now suddenly I've become a celebrity. Television and radio are coming to see me daily." That he's really got it almost off parrot fashion now. He just relates a fairly a tough story, but in a sort of slightly distant voice now. He's done it too many times, but brilliantly told and very, very moving story.
World War I, of course, brings up images of trench warfare, mustard gas. It was the first wide use of machine guns. I mean, men were scarred for life from that war. And Harry Patch, with whom you spoke, he served in the Duke of Cornwall's light infantry. And he says that 80 years later, he still has flashbacks. Tell me about that.
Those flashbacks were when he moved into the present home he is in, and there was a cupboard in the room which had a light which came on if you opened the door to sort of show you what was in the cupboard. Really quite a clever idea, but every time anyone opened the cupboard, it was just like the explosion going off, which destroyed 5 of his friends and which badly injured him. And that was on September the 21st, 1917. And so every September the 21st, he just simply stands in his room to remember them. He doesn't really go to Remembrance Day. That is his one remembrance, that blinding, flashing light that took away his friends and took away a great part of his life, really, because the memories were so fierce and scarred upon him that I think he found life very difficult afterwards, as they all did.
May I ask you to read a bit from Harry Patch's account to you?
Certainly. This is his account of his time at Pilcombe Ridge, in fact, his first action on his 19th birthday. "A couple of weeks after that, we moved to Pilcombe Ridge. I can still see the bewilderment and fear on the men's faces as he went over the top. We crawled, because if you stood up, you'd be killed. I came across a Cornishman who was ripped from shoulder to waist with shrapnel. His stomach was on the ground beside him. A bullet wound is clean. Shrapnel tears you all to pieces. As I got to him, he said, 'Shoot me, shoot me.' Before I could draw my revolver, he died. I was with him for the last 60 seconds of his life. He gasped one word, 'Mother.' That one word has run through my brain for 88 years. I will never forget it. I think it is the most sacred word in the English language. It wasn't a cry of distress or pain. It was one of surprise and joy. For he had learnt already that his mother had died, and he felt he was going to join her.
More than other wars, though, the First World War seems, in a way, to have left a legacy of poetry and literature. And I'm wondering if you have found this in the reflected in the stories that you've collected.
Not in any way. Not in any way at all. These are just ordinary men. I wouldn't say they don't have poetry in their hearts. They have music in their hearts, and there's something about the rhythm of their lives that has kept them going. Most of the men who've survived are infantrymen, and they have the plodding technique of just taking whatever happens during the day and taking it forward to the next and the next. I don't think Owens or Sassoon or Graves cut any ice with them at all. I've seen them in the presence of young chaps, students, reading them bits, and it's nothing to do with the war they went through.
Some of the men, in speaking with you, certainly seem decidedly anti-war.
I think the bulk of them are anti-war. They just saw the utter futility of that war. And the thought of people still going to war just completely puzzles them. It makes them so angry that young men are still being pitched into battles that are seemingly incomprehensible as they were to those young men that went to war in those days, really. And I think it's the grief of the loss of their friends which really gets to them. They still remember them as clear as anything. You go into 20 years ago, when you went into many English homes, there was still the picture of a First World War soldier, a brother, a father, who just didn't come back. And I always remember talking to two dear old ladies, and they were the oldest two ladies in England, both sisters, and they'd never married. And one was a nurse and one was a headmistress of a school. And I said to them at the end of a long interview, what a shame your brother isn't with us. He'd been killed in Gaza, an unknown battle, in 1916. And I said, isn't it a shame he's not with us? And they both looked at me and they said, oh, but he is. He is.
Max Arthur compiled the stories in Last Post, the final word from our First World War soldiers. He's written several other works of military history and is the military obituary writer for the Independent newspaper. Mr. Arthur, thank you so much.
Thank you.